You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
James is exhorting his readers to ask God for the wisdom that results in that mature character that was lacking in their lives. The lack of a completed Christian character in our lives comes from a lack of godly wisdom in our hearts. Once we get more wisdom in our hearts, then we have the completed Christian character in our lives. They go together. They're hand in hand. The trial is attempting to squeeze us and put us into a position where all of a sudden we see our lack of godly, gentle, peaceable, gracious wisdom. We lack, and then we cry out, God, I need it. I didn't have as much as I thought.
When you realize you lack wisdom in a trial, James says you must ask God for it. It's a duty for believers. Today, Pastor Tom will challenge you to look beyond yourself and your own abilities and ask God for help. He is generous to give those who ask. God sometimes withholds giving wisdom until you ask. You may even need to ask persistently and earnestly. Your need should humble you and give you courage to seek God and ask Him for help. He has all the wisdom you need. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, The Lord gives wisdom generously, but do you want it?
I want to deal with this pressure that has been put against me in a godly way. I want to respond to it as Christ wants me to respond to it. I want to have the character that God wants me to have. And so the wisdom isn't just knowledge. It's not just information. It's godly character. Remember that wisdom in Hebrew thought, and James is a Hebrew, and he's writing to Jewish believers, right? Wisdom in Hebrew thought was not an abstract kind of a thing. A philosopher sitting somewhere debating with other philosophers what truth was. Somebody meditating mystically under a tree and getting enlightened. Those are not what Hebrew thought was. That's not from Scripture. Wisdom in Hebrew thought was knowing about life so well that you lived it correctly. If you didn't live life correctly, you didn't actually have wisdom. So you could get straight A's in school, you could have the highest IQ in the university and be an utter what? Fool, right? Because you've accumulated factual trivia knowledge, you do well on all the trivia shows, you know, you'd earn your $1 million or whatever it is, but you would not really be a wise person because the way you live shows you haven't taken any real understanding and knowledge and put it together and now shown in the way you behave, the way you control your spirit, the way you deal with other people, the way you respond to authority, the way you love other people, the way you live in your family, the way you respond at work, that there is where you're going to see someone who's genuinely wise. You get it? A wise person lives wisely within the context of his own life. It's fleshed out knowledge, knowledge appropriated into life. It's not a mere skill. Sometimes we see someone talk their way around other people and we say, wow, he's wise. No, that's crafty. Okay, that's crafty. That's what Satan does. He makes everything that's straightforward, he twists it and says, no, it's like this. And then people go, huh? Instead of, no, this is it. It's a straight path. Look right down there. That's exactly what you need to be looking at. Wise people make sound judgments based on facts and careful observation with proper motives leading to proper ends. They speak edifying words. They speak words that glorify God. They listen to Scripture and follow Scripture. You know, people today think a NASA scientist is a wise person, and my apologies to any NASA scientists. You may or may not be a wise person. Depends on how you live. Actually, do you want to know what James thinks about wisdom? Let's cheat a little bit. Let's go forward. And it's not really cheating. This is what we're supposed to do. Let's go forward and read in James 3, starting in verse 13, what he thinks about wisdom, because this is really just an introduction to a theme he's going to cycle back to and pick up with more detail. Chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Ah, here comes an answer. Let him show by his debates with philosophers. Is that what it says? No, it says by his what? Good behavior, his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. People who are harsh with other people are not wise, okay? Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So what? Foolish people are also proud, right? They're arrogant. Verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. So there's an earthly kind of a wisdom, a natural wisdom, a demonic wisdom. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is, and here it is, first what? Pure, means we obey God. Then peaceable, we do everything we can to get along with others. Gentle, reasonable. Reasonable means decisions are based on facts. Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And then it goes on. What a description of real wisdom. A wise person is kind. A wise person restrains his lips. A wise person does not go about negatively judging other people. A wise person is a team player. A wise person acts the way the Word of God tells him to act. A wise person has courage, but he couples it with humility. Would that our national leaders had true wisdom from God. Amen? Our politicians. We are not led by wise people in America. Foolish people are unreasonable. Foolish people cause divisions. Foolish people are always in arguments. There's always friction around them. Their words are harsh. They're hard to get along with. Proverbs 18:1 says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. There are people like that, and they cause lots of problems. Jesus said that wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. You want to know a wise person? If you're trying to discern who's wise, who's right in a situation, look at the deeds. Remember Jesus said you will know them by their what? Fruits. Actions speak louder than words. You know a wise person by looking at the fruit around him. We need gentle, humble, thoughtful wisdom when we are in the midst of trials, and we need it badly because we're going to be defensive when we're in a trial. We're going to be angry. We're going to be upset. We're going to be frustrated. And that's not the wisdom from above. And so we really need, when we feel that lack in our character because of the trial, we really need to go after God in prayer long and hard. Sometimes people go after not only prayer, but also times of fasting to really seek God. Because if there's any a time in life where you really have been revealed and you don't have the character that you need, it's right after a trial has zapped you and you've just behaved poorly. You have to seek God. We need to act gently and merciful to others who wrong us. We don't want to fight back when we are persecuted. We want to leave room, as the scripture says, for the wrath of God. His wrath is a lot more than ours, right? His chastisement hurts more than any words we can come up with. James is exhorting his readers to ask God for the wisdom that results in that mature character that was lacking in their lives. The lack of a completed Christian character in our lives comes from a lack of godly wisdom in our hearts. Once we get more wisdom in our hearts, then we have the completed Christian character in our lives. They go together. They're hand in hand. The trial is attempting to squeeze us and put us into a position where all of a sudden we see our lack of godly, gentle, peaceable, gracious wisdom. We lack, and then we cry out, God, I need it. I didn't have as much as I thought. So also God our Father wants to show us the need for a more disciplined life, for a more humble frame of mind in dealing with our trial. We need to ask God for godly wisdom. We don't want the trial to come and go. And some of you are saying, yes, I want the trial to come and go. No, you don't want the trial to come and go and not learn from it. Otherwise, another trial is going to boomerang back. God is a father. He's teaching his children. Do you think that he doesn't know our hearts? If we don't learn the lesson, of course it's going to boomerang back, right? Wouldn't you do that with your children? They didn't learn the lesson. I know. You're talking to each other as parents. What are you going to do about it? Well, all right, I guess we have to do something else about it. That's what you do because you really care about your children, right? You want them to share your character. You're trying to mold them to be like you. That's what God's doing as well. Don't go through the trial and not learn the wisdom. That is probably the dumbest thing to do. God wants to teach us. Well, wisdom will enable us to learn from the trial. Doesn't that make wisdom a pretty important commodity? What's the most precious thing you own? You know, think about wisdom as a commodity. That's why the Proverbs, they say things like, buy truth and do not sell it. You know, you're at the exchanges, right? Buy it and never sell it. It's yours. Put it somewhere safe and hang on to it. You need it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Go after it. Chase it down. Little hint, before the next trial comes, get it, buy it, pursue it like silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:19 says, wisdom strengthens a wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Wow. It's so good to have it. Now, a little footnote I need to add to all of this to our discussion about wisdom. Sometimes the ultimate reason for a trial is locked up in God's eternal purposes, and you're not going to know. Job didn't know. Why am I going through this trial? He wasn't told. He just had to learn how to behave in the trial. Sometimes God has a reason for taking you through a trial. It's going to take years before you find out. Sometimes maybe you'll never find out till you get to heaven. I'm not even sure we'll know everything then. But we can always trust God. We know that. God is always good. We know that. God always has our best in mind. We know that. And that is often where you have to rest in your faith, right? But we still should seek wisdom. So this is what we should do. And this takes us to the second phase. We have the lack of wisdom. So what's the next phase the believer goes through? He makes the request for wisdom. Very simple, right? Verse 5, what do you do if you lack? Let him ask of God. Very clear, right? Oh, that's so simple. Let him ask of God. Again, please notice this is a command. It's a third person imperative. The one who lacks wisdom must ask God for it. It's actually our duty as believers. The point of the trial in bringing you to the end of yourself is so now you will cry out. Now you will ask. So it's an invitation for help, but it's also a command. This is what we should be doing. We have a moral obligation here. He must sense his spiritual need. He must sense his incompleteness. Proverbs 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And then with that lack of wisdom, bring it to God and say, I need wisdom. One way of putting this is that God puts weights on our shoulders to drive us to our what? Knees, down. It's too heavy, God. It's too heavy. And we get to our knees and then we say, Lord, help. I need to know what to do, how to get through this. Contrary to prevailing humanistic perspective, wisdom is not inside human beings. Understanding your world and the events in your life is not inside you. You don't turn the light inwardly and look for an inward light. That which man thinks he has figured out, he knows not. Those who will not come to the God of the Bible and will not come to the scriptures in which he speaks are not going to get wisdom. In fact, God kind of has arranged it that way. Listen to one of the prayers Jesus had when the disciples came back after he sent them out. He lifted up a prayer in Luke 10, 21. He said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. Do you know that God has his wisdom and he purposefully hides it from those who think they know better. They never get it. What does that tell you about the importance of being a child before God, being like a babe before God, being humble of heart before God? Doesn't that tell you how important that is? Paul eliminated human philosophy when he was debating with the philosophers. He wrote 1 Corinthians, and it reflects on all of these Greek philosophers around the world at that time. He says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. You can't get wisdom through philosophy. It's basically what it's saying. Whether it's a rationalism, empiricism, or any kind of combination, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the mind or heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love him. Secular education imparts none of God's wisdom. The media only conveys a worldly wisdom. Whether they're on the left, right, or in the middle, 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. Take all of the wisdom, everything that they think they have. If you sit and listen to them and tune your ear to them and try to get ideas from their seminars and their books, you're not tuning your ears to true wisdom. God considers all of it foolishness. And we take God's perspective, right? We look at all that wisdom, all that supposed education, all of that advice, and boy, they are so willing to give it, are they not? And just tell you and tell you and tell you so boldly this is true. God looks at all of it and says, none of that is wisdom, it's foolishness. Listen to me. God knows. True wisdom requires a supernatural source, not a philosophical contemplation, not a mystical experience, a supernatural revelation. Now, some people turn to supernatural revelations. They turn to tarot cards or Ouija boards or palm readings or crystal balls, astrology. Will those yield a supernatural guidance? Often I think they're just stealing money, right? They're hooksters. But if a supernatural answer comes through one of those forms, it's not from God. It's not his wisdom. The kingdom of darkness loves to advance its lies as wisdom if someone is foolish enough to turn there to try to get wisdom. But if one wants true wisdom, to know what's really going on in his life, he has to ask the Most High God, the God and Father of Jesus. Now, I like the fact that we have to ask. I think there's some times where I didn't, but I do now, and I want you to think about that. Let him ask. That's an imperative. Why doesn't God just give the wisdom? He won't give the wisdom. It looks like he's not going to give it, or he doesn't usually give it, unless we what? Ask. That's interesting, isn't it? We have to ask. So God's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants, and he has all this wisdom, but he's not giving it until we ask. Now we're going to find out that we have to ask in faith, and there should be a persistence to this asking. But I think it's very important that we have to acknowledge the true source of wisdom. By asking, we're admitting, implicitly we're saying, you know, God, I don't really have it in me to figure this one out. Boy, that's a humble statement, isn't it? I've lived all the years of my life. I've read lots of books. I've had lots of experience. But God, I need wisdom. I'm incomplete. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's so good. That's humble. If you want wisdom from God, he demands that you and I ask. That's so good. He's the source of all the wisdom, right? Why do you go to a rich man for money? Because he's got the money. Why do you go to a baker for bread? Because he's got the bread. Why do you go to God for wisdom? Because he has all wisdom. He's got it all. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow, I get that in Christ. I need to learn Christ better. Please notice it's not a one-time request. When it says let him ask, in Greek that's in a present tense and it's an imperative and it means that he should ask and continue on. It kind of has this repetitive, continuous action to it. Let him ask, not once, but just keep asking is the meaning. Some people want to know if they should keep asking God for something. Of course. Often we think of prayer like a quick email. Well, I sent it. One request should be enough. Then we wait for an answer. No wisdom. Prayer doesn't work. Sometimes God zaps us quickly back with wisdom. I found that to be the exception rather than the rule. Sometimes it takes time. God will work us through things before we get that wisdom. Besides, some of our prayers for wisdom are kind of half-hearted. It's more something like this. Boy, this is terrible. Lord, I need wisdom from you. Okay, now let me get on and do what I need to do. And it's not that heartfelt kind of, you know what, Lord, I really am coming to you as the source of the wisdom that I need. You need to change me because I'm not dealing with this relationship really well. I'm not dealing with this problem at work really well. And it's been here and now I'm really coming boldly and seriously before you. This is a serious request with me. And God sometimes waits, even though we asked, it's not wholehearted asking. Would you agree? Sometimes it's asking, it's out there, but it's not wholehearted. So the Lord kind of leaves it a little bit, kind of like with a kid that asks for something, but you're not sure, does he really want that? You know? And if he keeps asking and asking as a parent, you know what? The kid really wants that. That's something he really, really wants. He's seeking after it, you see? And then God reveals that because he knows the heart. Sometimes we think of, you know, asking in prayer, just one quick prayer, it's over with. Prayer is really like ongoing communion with God. We're having a conversation with God. We're bringing back each day, Lord, I asked you for wisdom, and this happened. I still don't know what to do. What should I do here? I read this verse here, and I talked to so-and-so. And you keep having that conversation with God so that wisdom will come to you, you see? You're working through the problem weeks and months, and as you're doing that, you're keeping record of some of the thoughts that you have. I think it's a great idea. You are learning the things that God wants you to learn. It's not just quick. You got to give me the wisdom now or else I'm just, you know, I'm going to be fizzled out. Can't talk to God like that. But I don't want to imply that asking God for wisdom is like banging on a door of someone who's completely ignoring us and does not care about us. I don't mean to say that. Look what he writes next there in verse 5. He goes on, he says, God gives to all men generously and without reproach. God gives to all men generously and without reproach. Generously and without reproach refers to the manner of God's giving. The Greek term generosity or generously refers to, this is interesting, it refers to simplicity. It's like, what do you mean? He gives simply. That means with God, there's not going to be a complication with him. His generosity is straightforward. You know, go up to a generous man, and he doesn't have 20 hoops for you to jump through, right? He's like, okay, I see you're in need, and I'm going to give. It's straightforward giving. It's simple giving. It's free giving. That's how God is. His giving is direct. It's easy flowing. It comes from his generous heart. It's wholehearted. And then he says that God gives this wisdom without reproach. Oh, I like that. That is a blessed truth. God does not heap insults on us for coming and asking him for wisdom. He gives it without reproach. He doesn't reproach us. Oh, you know, what would reproaching be? It'd be like this. Oh, there comes that foolish boy back here again. I knew sooner or later he'd end up back on my doorstep. Yep. Asking for something. That's reproach. God doesn't do that. He sees what we need, not what we deserve. That's what mercy is. When he gives what we need, not what we deserve. God is like that. Indeed, his gracious, non-reproving response makes us wonder, why did we take so long to ask and believe in him? Why? Isn't Jesus Christ our friend? Right? Isn't he our friend? Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. I wish our giving was a little bit more like God's. Sometimes our kids act foolishly, and they come to us and we say, well, it's about time. Look what a mess you made of this whole situation. You should have come and you should have asked sooner. And we reproach our children when they come to ask for wisdom. Now, again, I want to balance what I'm saying because obviously there's lots of other scriptures. This is not saying that God would never rebuke us or that we don't deserve a rebuke. Or that he always withholds a rebuke. Certainly we do deserve that if we're stubborn and we won't listen. But when we turn to him and our hearts are humble and believing, we've confessed our sin, we've said this is our need, it says then that God opens his mouth and he imparts wisdom bountifully. And he does it not to put us in our place, but to help us. Certainly we can have absolutely no doubts at all that God has enough wisdom to give us. Remember what it says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. What is there that the Ancient of Days does not know and understand? What contingency has he not anticipated? What factoid has he missed? What aspect of your life is he not aware of? People get concerned about the oil reserves every once in a while. They're going to give out. We know that. We've been told that. Even with all the fracking that's going on, they're going to give out. But God's wisdom reserves, they're bottomless. They never give out. Whatever you need, you draw on it. And he gives without reproach. It's free, brothers and sisters. It's free. Just think about this. God has the wisdom right now that you need for your life. Right now. And he's got a big, generous heart with a pipeline to get it right to you. He gives straight, free. But do you really want it? Do you really think you need it? Desperately, honestly. Later in verse 17, James will write, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He's generous. That's just constantly how God is. That never changes with God. God is that way right now in his relationship to you. He's generous and wants to be generous to you right now. That's the way he was when James wrote this letter 2,000 some years ago. That's the way he is right now. He wants to be that way for you. But do you want his wisdom for life? In John 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. In other words, God is poised and ready to give. We just need to learn to ask. Now we come to the third and the final phase of all of this, and that is the granting of the wisdom itself. The promise that James is making at the end of verse 5 is so clear. It says, and it shall be given to him. That's a promise, right? And it shall be given to him.
Today on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom encouraged you to recognize your great need for wisdom and in humility ask God who gives generously. By asking, you are acknowledging that you can't figure it out on your own. You can't find wisdom within yourself or in the world around you. True wisdom comes only from God, but you must ask sincerely and be open to receive all God gives you. When you ask with that desire in your heart, God responds. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. James states it clearly that when you ask God for wisdom, He is faithful and will give generously and without reproach. Join us next time on Discover Hope as Pastor Tom describes the generous way God will answer your prayer for wisdom and to get through a trial. It is a promise. Though He may not answer you immediately or in the way you planned, He will answer. He'll give you what you need, not what you deserve. Thanks for tuning in today for Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Pastor Tom, visit hopebiblechurch.org. There's so much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll join us again right here on Discover Hope.